नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे नमो महाविदन्याय कृष्णा प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्या नामने गौरक्षे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकम् हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत्य गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंदा हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So what were we discussing last time? That's okay. So we discussed up to 267, right? Chapter 2, text 67. So we'll continue from 68 and we'll try to finish the remaining verses of chapter 2 today. So we'll finish chapter 2. The couple of verses very important towards the end of chapter 2. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
सो टेक्स्ट 68 तस्मात् यस्य महाबाहो निगृहीतानि सर्वशः इन्द्रियाणि इन्द्रियानर्थेभ्य तस्य प्रज्ञ प्रतिष्ठितः तस्माद् यस्य महाबाहो निगृहीतानि सर्वशः इन्द्रियाणि इन्द्रियानर्थेभ्यस्य तस्य प्रज्ञा प्रतिष्ठितः तस्माद् यस्य महाबाहो निगृहीतानि सर्वशः इन्द्रियाणि इन्द्रियानर्थेभ्यस्य तस्य प्रज्ञा प्रतिष्ठितः। Therefore, O mighty armed, one whose senses are restrained from their object is certainly of steady intelligence. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. One can curb the forces of sense gratification only by means of Krishna consciousness or engaging all the senses in transcendental loving service of the Lord. As enemies are curbed by the superior force, The senses are similarly be curbed not by any human endeavor, but only by keeping them engaged in service of the Lord. One who has understood this, that only by Krishna consciousness is one really established in intelligence, and that one should practice this art under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, is called a sadhaka, or a suitable candidate for liberation. So Krishna, again and again, he is kind of pointing to the same point here. What are the characteristics of a pragya pratishthita, of a self-realized or a person of steady intelligence, whose senses are
controlled?
So not just controlled, but engaged in Krishna consciousness. So whose senses are restrained from their objects is certainly of steady intelligence. So after restraining the senses from their sense object, engaging them in Krishna service. Now the example given is as a person curbs his enemy by the strength. Similarly, by what strength we can curb our senses? So what is the force here? Or what is the strength here to curb all the senses? So the force of Krishna consciousness with steady intelligence. That's how we develop steady intelligence, when we are attached or engaged are linked with the Supreme, right? We discussed this verse few verses back. So when we are linked with the Supreme, we get steady intelligence. With steady intelligence, there is steady mind. With steady mind, there is all the senses are restrained. So the senses cannot be curbed by human endeavor. We cannot control the senses just by our physical strength. You can control some enemy with your physical strength, but we cannot control this enemy of the senses with physical strength. If somebody has big biceps, he can scare away his enemy. Or with big biceps, big physical strength, one may be able to control his enemy as a physical enemy, but these senses cannot be controlled by the strength of biceps. It can be controlled only by engaging them in Krishna consciousness. या निशा सर्वभूतानां तस्यां जागृति संयमी यस्यां जागृति भूतानि सा निशा पश्यतो मुनेः. या निशा सर्वभूतानां तस्यां जागृति संयमी यस्याम जागृति भूतानि सा निशः पश्यतो मुने. What is the night for all being is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. And the time of awakening for all being is the night for the introspective sage. So Krishna is giving a wonderful analogy here. So he is saying, whatever is the night for materially attached people, that is the time for a self-controlled or the introspective sage. And what is the time for his awakening? That is the night for the materially attached people. So now is Krishna talking about the day and night in terms of physical sense here? That when it is daytime, the sadhus are sitting in meditation. Or when it is the night time, sadhu is sleeping and the materially attached people are very active. This is what Krishna is talking about here? So it's not the day and night as per our geographical timing. What Krishna is stressing here in terms of the sphere of activities. So whatever activities may be entrusted to the materially active people, materially attached people, a self-realized person is asleep to those activities. He is not active towards those activities. And whatever activities the self-realized person, self or the introspective sage, whatever activities he is interested to or he is active towards, a materially attached person is inactive towards those activities. So for material active person, what is the sphere of activities?
Money.
So money, basically it all end up there. That is the bottom line, right? Yes. Money.
Yes.
And enjoyment. Purpose of money is to enjoy. Mm-hmm. And so want to earn money and then utilize that money for enjoyment. Going to parties, going to wherever there is an object of sense enjoyment. So a materially attached person is attracted to all those activities, and a self-realized person, introspective sage, is inactive towards those things. He is not interested in all those activities. His interest is in Krishna consciousness or in attachment to the activities towards the Supreme Lord, hearing about the Supreme Lord, chanting the name of the Lord, doing some physical service to the Lord, talking to others about the Supreme Lord. So that is the activity where a self-realized person is interested towards. And a materially attached person is inactive towards those activity. If somebody is too attached to materialistic way of life, so we may have our practical experience, right? You call somebody for satsang program. Generally, what is the answer? Call for satsang program, call for temple program. What is the answer? Oh, we are too busy, right? No time. So he is sleeping towards those activities. And call a self-realized person, come to party today.
Yes.
No, self-realized person. So he will say, no, I have some other engagement, right? Sorry, I cannot come. I already have some other commitment. I already have some other engagement. So that is the difference. That is the sphere of activities what Krishna is talking about here. Not a geographical day and time difference. In geographical day and time difference also, there is, we can look towards that also. For a self-realized person, he will like to sleep early, get up early in the morning. For a materialistic person, his day starts at evening, right? So what time the disco, the pubs and the casinos start? Are they open at 5 o'clock in the morning? They open at late evening. And they go till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. So when it is the time for a self-awakening person to get up, that is the time for those people to go to sleep. Can any intoxicated person get up early in the morning and do sadhana? That is the time for him to go to sleep. All night being in all these pubs and casinos, late night parties. So when he is retiring to bed, a self-awakening person is ready to get up and engage in his devotional services, his sadhana. So that is from geographical point of view also, we can say there is a difference in activities. And towards the activities, the sphere of activities, what kind of activities a materialistic person will be attached towards versus what kind of activities a self-realized person, or not as a self-realized person, just as a sadhaka also. So we may not be in a stage of that, oh, we are already self-realized, we have reached that stage. What category we may fall in? Maybe somewhere in between, right? So as a sadhaka, we are progressing towards changing our sphere of activities from materialistic activities to devotional activities. No, the 70 and 71 is very important.
So I think here night means like night symbolizes like the ignorance.
Right.
Ignorance.
Exactly.
Know. Yeah, and day symbolizes, you know, awakening, you know,
So there is a very important verse or the shloka in one of the Upanishads. So when we talk about peace, right? So Upanishads explain the peace mantras, so which is at a personal level. There are peace mantras which are at indicated towards other living entities. There are peace mantras which are indicated towards everybody in the whole creation. The peace mantra which is indicated towards our own self, myself. So it says, Om Astoma Sadgamayo Tamsoma Jyotirgamayo Mrityurma Mritamgamayo Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So what is that mantra that indicates towards? So Om Astoma Sadgamayo. Don't keep me in unreal, take me towards reality. Astoma sadgamaya, not don't keep me in unreality, take me towards reality. Tamsoma jyotirgamaya, don't keep me in darkness, take me towards light. Mrityurma amritam gamaya, don't keep me towards this sense of bodily attachment, take me towards eternity, towards the knowledge of the soul, which is eternal. So Mrityurma Amritam Gamayo. So this body is prone to die, prone to death. So this is temporary. So don't keep me towards this temporary thing. Take me towards eternity, towards the knowledge of soul. So let there be peace, peace and peace. So that is indicated. What does this indicate? Don't keep me in ignorance. So that's what exactly Krishna is also saying here. People who are in ignorance, their activities are completely different. Those are towards bodily attachment. The activity which are related to this bodily concept of life. We are this body, so let me enjoy as much as I can. But the person who is moving towards reality, that I am not the body, I am the spirit soul, I am eternal, and my real position is in the spiritual world. So let me move towards those activity which can help me attain that position. Right? So there is a transition going from point A to point B. Now we have not reached point B. We are in between. Moving towards that. But to continue our journey towards that, we need to engage in certain activity which are favorable. So if somebody is swimming in a water, which direction it's easy to swim?
Direction of flow of the water.
So direction of the flow of the water. But if somebody is trying to swim in the opposite direction, it will be really, really difficult. So when we are moving from unreal towards reality, towards materialistic way, from materialistic way of life towards the life of eternity, we need to pick the activities which can help us move towards that direction, not pick the activity which are opposite flow. That way it's going to be really, really difficult to attain that goal. So good point, Prabhu. Apuryamanam achala pratishtham samudramapam privashyanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishani sarve sa shantim apnoti na kama kami. Apuryamanam achala pratishtham samudram apaha pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sah shantim apnoti na kam kami. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So Very important verse here. Again, translation is, a person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enters like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So Krishna uses a very wonderful word here, kama kami. So what is kam? Kam means desires. So kam kami. What is the meaning of kam kami? The desirer of desires.
Kami is the person.
Right? So desirer of the desires. So look at the poetic composition here. Krishna uses the word. So one can attain peace. Who can attain peace? Not the one who is desirer of desires. Who is kama kami? Who is always looking for sense gratification. But the person who is not disturbed by these flow of desires. So this person, what analogy Krishna is giving, is like an ocean. So the river is gushing into the ocean, but the ocean is always still, not disturbed. So the person who is not disturbed by the flow of desires, he is steady like the ocean. He only can attain peace. Not the one who is desiring for sense gratification, who is desiring for desires. So how do we understand this point? What is the meaning of the desires rushing into us? So sometime what happens is there is a, here it's less, in India it's too much maybe. So there is a salesperson at your door. Here also it happens sometime, not too much. So there is a salesperson at your door and he may show you different things. So see, look at this product, look at that product. So when we look at certain product, what happens is, so that looking at certain thing is, it's like
alluring.
Alluring. Right? It's giving you temptations. Mm-hmm. So now when the temptations come, it raises desires. Oh, let me have this. Let me take this. So there are so many temptations outside, and with that temptations, we develop desires. So there is a ad in the TV maybe for a new car or something. And looking at that, you get tempted. So the temptations go inside and desires go outside. Right? So then there is a desire. No, I want to get that. Or there may be a temptation looking at something with your friend or neighbor. Oh, he has that. So with that temptation, you get desire. I also want to have that. So like that, there are so many temptations coming, or the desires rushing towards us and rushing outward. So we are always disturbed with all this flow of desires. But the analogy is given of ocean. So now in an ocean, so many rivers are going into ocean. But does the ocean overflows? Ocean remains like that. No matter how many, all the rivers are entering into that. But if there is a small puddle of water, and more water you add into that, what will happen?
Overflow.
Overflow. It will all flow out. So sometimes we are like that puddle of water. With little some temptations come, some desire come, we overflow with desires. No, I want to get this. I want to have this. So rather than being as a puddle, we need to become like an ocean who is self-satisfied. No matter how many desires enter into us, then that does not bother us. Now, who can be satisfied like that? So it all depends on what is our state of consciousness. If we are internally satisfied with the activities of Krishna consciousness, if we are having pleasure in those activities, then we will not be tempted with all these external things. But if we are not satisfied inside, if we are not having happiness inside, then we are looking for happiness all different places, all different things outside. So then all the desires going out. Somebody have a... So it becomes controlled to give up certain attractions, certain attachments. So there are so many different sort of attachments we had before we came to Krishna consciousness. right? Everybody agrees. So there are attachment towards certain food type, there is attachment towards certain association type, there is attachment towards certain way of
clothing,
certain activities. Somebody may have attachment towards movies, somebody may have attachment towards sports, spending too much time in sports activities or watching sports all day and all that. So people have different sort of attachments. And as we come into Krishna consciousness, as we are learning better, maybe we are able to give up certain attachments. And it's a gradual process. But sometimes the attachments are so strong, and if we are not having contentment inside the heart, those attachments remain. Somebody may be able to give up all other things, but not able to give up one particular thing, right? One particular attachment. He may not be able to give up the attachment of certain food type, certain eating style, certain eating habits. Somebody may be able to give up all sort of different attractions, attachment, maybe not able to give up the attachment towards movies or towards particular sport. No, this is football game today. I have to go. No way. I can skip that game. So like that, there are so many different sort of attractions, different attachments. So all these temptations come towards us, gushing into us. And we get the desires and we move towards those activities, to engage in those activities. So the only way we can feel satisfaction is if we find happiness, find satisfaction in the activities of Krishna consciousness. And how we can do that? To get attachment towards certain thing, attraction towards certain thing, what we have to do?
Engage ourselves in that.
So we have to engage ourselves in that. Before that also, association. Right? So if somebody want to be a certain type of businessman, he will associate with business type people who have similar kind of mentality. If somebody want to be a medical professional, so he will go to some conferences about medical field. If somebody is into IT or engineering, he will go to conferences which are towards that particular field. So we associate based on where we want to be, what we want to do. So same way, if we associate with spiritually minded people, then we get that desire. So the desire from them rub onto us, right? If somebody is strong in that activity and we keep associating with that, we also develop that desire. We also develop that attraction. It's like dream building. So there used to be one business called Amway.
Amway, yeah.
Or Quickstar. Still there?
Still there, yeah.
Okay. So what they do is, there is something called dream building. So they will show the dream. They will try to put the dream into others' heart also. Oh, you can do this. You can achieve that. You can achieve that much money or that much luxuries. So all that. So that is called dream building.
Financial freedom.
Financial freedom. Or you can attain financial freedom. Retirement from your job in 5 years.
More motivate the people.
Right? So they have so many different sort of association. They have their conferences, their weekly meetings, all those sort of things. What is done there to motivate people? By looking at all these people, they also get motivated to do some things. So that is the power of association. So dream building. So same way in spiritual life, if we associate with spiritually inclined people, spiritually minded people, we also get the desire. Yes, I will like to serve the Lord. Everybody has their different talents. Somebody is good in cooking. Somebody is maybe interested in decorating the deities. Somebody is good in kirtan. So like that, everybody has their different talents, and we can use that talent in Krishna service. And we can, when we associate with people, we also pick up what are our strengths. Oh yeah, see that person, she or he is making so nice garlands or making so nice sweets for the pleasure of the Lord. Maybe I can also do that. I also have that inclination. Maybe I can serve in that way. So somebody is doing nice kirtan. Oh, I also have that inclination. Maybe I will also like to lead kirtan or sing kirtan. So we get the desire by associating with people. How to serve the Lord? Based on our capacity, our talent. Now, so not the person who cannot be peaceful, the person who is trying to fulfill all the desires. Can all the desires be satisfied? No. Even somebody may be at the deathbed, he may have desires pending. Oh, I still need to do these things. Maybe my death can postpone for another couple of years. So Prabhupada used to give one example that one of his friend, he was on his deathbed and he was still pleading with the doctors. Oh, I have not done all the things. I have not achieved everything yet. Please give me 2 more years to live. But now is that in somebody's hand? So when there is a calling, we have to go. So the desires can never be fulfilled, never be satisfied. And as I said, the peace formula. So if somebody really want to get peace, the peace we can attain is when there is an internal peace, not just external peace. We may have very peace in your house. You may have a very peaceful environment. But during that peaceful environment also, your heart may not be at peace. It may have so much turbulences going on in the heart, in the mind. So it's not about external peace. It's about the peace of mind, peace of heart, which we are looking at. And that peace can be attained only when it is satisfied in service of Krishna, in linking with Krishna. And a devotee is not concerned about his peace alone, that, oh, I want to be peaceful. He is concerned about the peace of the whole world. Let the whole world be peaceful. So, I already gave reference to one shloka from the Upanishads, which is directed towards somebody looking for his own peace. Right? So, first we look for your own peace, which was Om Astoma Sadgamayo Tam Soma Jyotirgamayo Mrityurma Amritam Gamayo Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So, that is looking for peace for himself. Let me move towards peace. And then the another level is we're looking for peace for all other living entities, all people surrounding us. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah Sarve Santu Niramayah Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kashchid Dukh Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So what does that mean? Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina. Let everybody be happy. Sarve Santu Niramayah. Let everybody be free of disease. Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. May everybody be able to see the auspiciousness. Ma Kashchid Dukh Bhag Bhavet. May everybody be free from all sort of miseries. Nobody have to face the miseries. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Let there be peace, peace, peace. So this is directed towards all the living entities surrounded us. And the another level of peace, one is aspiring for peace of the whole world, not just himself, not just the close circle of living entities. All the living entities in the sky, in water, in earth, on land, even the Devi Devatas, everything, everybody. Om Dhyayo Shanti Antariksha Shanti Prithvi Shanti Apo Shanti Oshadhaya Shanti Vanaspataya Shanti Vishvadeva Shanti Brahma Shanti Sarvam Shanti Shanti Reva Shanti Sama Shanti Redhi. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So what this mantra from Upanishad is directed toward? Om Dhyayo Shanti. Let there will be peace towards heaven. Antariksha Shanti. Let there will be peace in sky. all the different planetary system, all the living entities staying in different planetary system upward, let there be peace unto them. Prithvihi shanti, let there be peace unto all the people living on earth. Apoh shanti, let be peace unto all the living entities in water. Vanaspataya oshadayah shanti, let be peace unto all the plants and vegetables. Vanaspatayah shanti, let be peace unto all the herbs. Vishvadevah shanti, let be peace unto all the devi devatas. Brahma shanti, let be peace unto Brahma. Sarvam shanti, let everybody be peaceful. Shanti reva shanti, sahma shanti redi. May we be able to realize that peace. Om shanti shanti shanti. So that is the peace formula given in, or not the peace formula, it's the desire for attaining peace. It's not the peace formula, it's just the desire for attaining peace. I want to be peaceful, let all other be peaceful, all different planetary system, other planets in sky, in water, in air, in earth, let everybody be peaceful. And what is the peace formula? How one can become peaceful? That we discussed last week, right? Krishna says, when we are connected towards the Supreme Lord, only then we can become peaceful. Because then only we can get steady intelligence. And a devotee is not interested just for his own peace. He is interested for the peace of everybody. That's why they will try to give the message of Lord to everybody, to all others. Let me also practice. Let me help others also practice. Let me help. If I can be any instrument in Krishna's service, let Krishna make me the instrument to share this learning, this knowledge with others, so that some other souls can also move closer to Krishna to attain the real happiness, real peace. People do Shanti Path, right? Shanti Mantra. So,
how it will affect?
But, first of all, see, if we chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, that's also like Shanti Mantra. It gives peace to everybody. Anybody who hears the holy name, when you are chanting at your home also, there are so many bacteria, bugs, everybody, or plants. So everybody hearing the holy name, they get benefit. Right? That is the real benefit. They get connected toward Krishna to attain the real happiness, real peace. So, yeah, one can chant that Shanti Mantra, but first of all, one has to have deep understanding in the heart what that Shanti Mantra really means and how one can. So that is the desire for Shanti. But how one can get real peace, real Shanti? So we have to understand that also. Not just desire, we have to act on that desire also. To act on that desire means to chant the holy name. So the difference, as in previous verse, Krishna says, the sphere of activities. For the person who is ignorant towards spiritual activity, for him it's night time. And for the spiritual active person, the materialistic activities is like a night time. So there is a big vast of difference. So the activities a spiritual person is doing, materialistic person will call that person crazy. Oh, these guys are crazy. They don't have anything to do, just chanting Krishna's name. A spiritual person will call materialistic person crazy. See, these guys are just wasting all the time, all their life, in all the nonsense activities. So both are calling each other crazy, each other nonsense. But in reality, who is crazy? Is materialistic person really crazy or a spiritualistic person really crazy? Both of them calling each other crazy. Right, it happens? So they will call these spiritualistic people, oh, see, these guys just crazy, dancing on streets, chanting Krishna's name. They have nothing else to do, just all the time, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They are mad. They don't have anything to do. They are wasting their time. And spiritualist person will say, these guys are crazy, wasting all their life. Useless. So who is really crazy? So let me give you one example. So if you visit Pagalkhana, what do you call Pagalkhana? Mental asylum. So if you visit a mental asylum, there is a mad guy, right? Mentally retarded person. So sometimes you'll see he will stand on a chair and he will start giving speech. See, I am the prime minister, the president of the country. Everybody come, listen to me. So he is claiming something which he is not. So in that way he is crazy. People call him crazy because he is claiming himself to be something which he is not. So same thing is with materialistic person. We are claiming ourselves to be the body, which we are not. So in that way, somebody claiming himself to be body, he is crazy. Because you are not the body. And if we claim ourselves to be body and all our activities are based on that understanding, oh, I am just this body, with this life everything will be over, and our activities are molded based with that conception of life, it means we are crazy. So that crazy person, that mentally retarded person, when the doctor comes, he will say, see, another mad person coming. He is calling the doctor crazy. And the doctor will call this mad guy crazy. So they also call both people, each other crazy. A mad guy will call doctor crazy, doctor will call the mad guy crazy. So who is really crazy? So mad person, because doctor knows what is his situation, so he calls him crazy. So same way, a spiritualistic person, because he know, he has seen both sides of life, he know what is what, so he calls a materialistic person as crazy. Abhi, one person is drinking water, another person is drinking mango juice. Who knows the taste? So somebody drinking water, he has never tasted mango juice. Can he describe the taste of mango juice? But the person who is now drinking mango juice, he has earlier tasted water and now he is drinking mango juice. He knows what is what. So he knows, compared to water, mango juice is nectarian. It's very relishable, very nice, tasty. But the other person doesn't know. So only the person who has drank both can give the difference. So a spiritualistic person, he has gone through the materialistic way of life also earlier. He has seen that. Now he has, after trying to enjoy in materialistic sphere of activities, he is moving towards spiritual activity. So he has tasted both sides and he know where the real taste is. So he is giving the description. See, this is where the real happiness, real peace lies. The materialistic way of life is all nonsense. It's waste of time. So he is able to give the difference in two. So that's why he will call the other person crazy. So who is really crazy now? Materialistic person. Because he has not seen the other side. But the spiritualistic person has seen both sides. Nice comparison? Everybody understood? Okay, so moving on to text 71. Vihaya kaman yah sarvan sarva pumsa charti nipushah nispraha nirmamo nirahankar sa shantim adigachati. Vihaya kaman yah sarvan pumam charati nispraha nirmamo nirahankar sa shanti madigachati. A person who has given up all desires for sense gratification, who lives free from desires, who has given up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. So now Krishna is summing up all the previous verses. In the last two verses he is kind of summing up. So the last few verses were answering Arjuna's last question. So Arjuna asked four questions. Right? What is the characteristic of Sitta Pragya? Self-realized person. How does he sit? How does he walk? How he acts? So Krishna is describing his activity. What are the characteristics of self-realized persons? Of a Sitta Pragya. So here Krishna is summing up again. A person who has given up all desires for sense gratification. who has given up the sense of proprietorship and devoid of false ego, who lives free from desires, he alone can attain real peace. So this is what we have been discussing in last few verses. Free from desires, free from the claim of proprietorship, free from the claim of having any false ego, so that can attain real peace. Not the one who is full of pride, full of ego, who is full of controllership or proprietorship, or who is full of the desire for sense gratification. And last time we discussed one text from chapter 5, 529, which is again forcing towards that. Here Krishna is just giving the indications to attain the peace. So he is saying one should not be the proprietorship, free from false ego, free from desires. But Krishna has not given, okay, who is the real proprietor then? Towards whom our all desire should be directed? Towards whom all our activity should be directed? So here Krishna has not given that. He is just speaking at a level of kind of a karma yoga, that okay, do your work, but free from all the desires for enjoyment, all the desires for the proprietorship, controllership. Don't get into pride more that, oh, I did this, I achieved this. But he has not given the from towards whom the activity should be directed. That he will give in chapter 3 also in some indications. In chapter 5 he clearly tells. And what is the text we discussed last time? From chapter 5? 5.29. Bhoktaram yagyatapsam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhrida sarvabhutanam shant. Okay, let me do again. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhrida sarvabhutanam yatvamam shantim richati. So who knows this, he will attain real peace. Who knows what? I am the enjoyer of all the sacrifices, all the austerities. I am the proprietor of all the planetary system. I am the real friend of all the living entities. Who knows this will attain real peace. So we claim proprietorship, that oh, this property belongs to me. We get into too much of this proprietorship mentality. But this property remained earlier also, maybe in some other shape, some other form. It will get destroyed at certain point of time. It can be again created and somebody will else have the proprietorship on that part of property. So we are not the real proprietor. We are like caretaker. So okay, this has been assigned to us as a quota to utilize for our sustenance, for our living. But originally, I am not the proprietor of this. I am just the caretaker. And not having the sense of pride, thinking, oh, I have done such a great work. I am such a great speaker, or I am such a great programmer, or I am such a great doctor. So like that, all this sense of pride comes in us with little achievements. But we forget that who is giving us the intelligence or the strength to carry out our activities. So giving up the sense of proprietorship, giving up the sense of false ego, giving up the desires to enjoy, and molding all our desires towards pleasing the Supreme Lord. Then one can be free from all these attachments and attraction and attain the real peace.
But when it comes to local, overall, when it comes to sense proprietorship, the sense, I mean, it is related to one body only. It ends with this body. So, who is the proprietor? Of course, not the person who is inside. But these senses are only temporary, right?
This body is also given to us for the sustenance of this body. For the sustenance. This body is like a dress. But we have to maintain that dress. So, for the maintenance of that dress, this body, we have to carry out certain activities. Like you have to feed the body, right? Put food in your mouth. So the senses, the of sight, to see something, to hear something. So all those facilities are given. But are these senses are the enjoyer? Who is utilizing those senses? These senses are like dull matter. Right? So who is the proprietor? So the living entity who is residing in this body. So temporarily he is the proprietor.
But he is not
the proprietor, the caretaker.
Yeah.
So in 13th chapter, Arjuna will ask the question. Okay, so in 13th chapter, first text starts with Arjuna's question. But that question is, what is this field of activity? Who is the owner of this field of activity? Who is the enjoyer of this field of activity? So that is where the question starts. So same way, what similar question is, this body is given to us as an instrument. Now, but does the eye actually see and enjoy? Does the mouth actually eat and enjoy? Who is using? Because when a person dies, the eyes are still there. But that person doesn't see anymore. But if the eyes were the only one who were seeing, the eye should still see. So the eye is just like an instrument. So eye is the instrument for the soul in this body to see through this instrument. For example, a person uses a telescope or a microscope to see certain things. So that telescope or that microscope, we can use as an instrument to see certain things which cannot be seen with this material eye. So same way, this material eye is an instrument for the eye of the spirit soul. When a person becomes old, his eyesight fades away. So he puts glasses on. So the glasses are like the instrument for this material eyes. So same way, this material eye is an instrument for the spirit soul. So see, when a spirit soul is encaged within this body, these are the instruments to act through that. So we are the spirit soul is kind of proprietor of this body. More than a proprietor, one should consider it as a caretaker of this body. Because the spirit soul, along with the spirit soul, the supreme soul also resides in the body. So this body is like a temple where the spirit soul, the supreme lord is also residing as Paramatma. And the spirit soul is also living to do the job of a caretaker.
Is the soul really enjoying all these things because he don't need all?
So when we are in this material world, this is like a uniform or the dress given to us. And there are many different varieties of dress. So long time back I had given this example.
Helpers to sustain. Yeah?
Within this material world. Like if somebody want to go deep down into the ocean, he will have to have a certain type of dress to stay there in that environment. If somebody goes into space, he need to have a certain type of dress to stay within that environment, right? A space suit or the swimming suit to stay long term in that environment. So same way, this body is the dress given for us to stay within this alien environment for us. For the spirit soul, this is like an alien environment. We don't belong here in this material world. But we are here to stay within this material world. This is like a dress given to sustain within that material world. Just like the example of a swimming suit or the space suit.
I think this is explained properly in the Krishna book is there, right? The first few chapters, first few pages in the Krishna book is really explained properly. What each body part does and who benefits out of it. So it's been a while I read it, but it is explained properly there.
Anybody has any other comment, question? So we'll read the last text. Esha Brahmi Sitha Partha Nainam Prapya Vimuhyati Sithavasyam Antakalepi Brahma Nirvanam Rachyati एषा भ्रमी स्थितः पार्थ नयनं प्राप्य विमुह्यति स्थितवास्यम् अन्तकालेऽपि ब्रह्म निर्वाणं रच्छति. So this is the way of spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. If one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. So this verse is kind of considered as a summary of whole chapter 2. And the whole chapter 2 is a summary of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Right? So chapter 2 is titled as Gita Kasar, Contents of Gita Summarized. And this text is kind of summary of the chapter 2. So what Krishna is saying here, explaining all this, Krishna is saying, okay, this is the way of spiritual and godly life. Esha Brahmi Sthiti. And after attaining which, a man is not bewildered. If one attains to this situation of a sthita pragya, one is not bewildered. And even at the time of death, at the hour of death, one is not bewildered and one enters into the kingdom of God. Now the word used here is Brahma Nirvanam Richati. Now sometimes people claim this Brahma Nirvanam as some kind of a impersonal liberation, merging into some kind of a impersonal effulgence. But Brahma Nirvana is not any impersonal state. Brahma Nirvana is going into the kingdom of God, entering into the kingdom of God. Not just some kind of a impersonal effulgence. And one who is situated in this at the time of death. But now, can somebody be situated at time of death all of a sudden that, oh, I will situate myself in sthita pragya condition and I will attain that Brahma Nirvana situation? Can that happen momentarily? It needs practice for throughout the life. So there are many different instances or many different personalities who attained the Supreme Lord. Like there is an example of, what is that name of the king? He was helping the demigods fight with demons. And for a long time this battle was going on. And when finally they got victorious, so the demigods were very pleased with him. He said, you ask us anything you want. So he said, okay, first tell me how much of my life is left. And then they looked and said, you have only one moment left. So he said, I just want to focus my mind on the Supreme Lord and attain that. Because he has practiced that throughout the life. So at the last moment of his life, he just focused on the Supreme Lord, gave up his life and attained the Supreme Lord. And Parikshit Maharaj has 7 days. He knew 7 days death is coming. And he gave up everything, focused on the Supreme Lord. Shukdev Goswami started speaking about the narrations of the Supreme Lord. And with 7 days, he completely focused on the Supreme Lord and he attained the spiritual world. Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, in a period of 6 months, with their surrender to the Supreme Lord, they were able to see the Supreme Lord face to face. And throughout the life, they were surrendered to the Lord. So it's not a momentary process. It's about our dedication, our surrender to the Lord and practice. It doesn't happen momentarily. Sometimes we become proud, oh, I have been in Krishna consciousness for many time now, many years now. But it's not about the months or years, it's about the level of surrender. One can attain the Supreme Lord in 6 months, or one can be in 40 years, we may be still far away from that goal. So we need to come to that level of having real surrender towards the Supreme Lord. Only 1 minute, yes, we can attain that in 1 minute. That's a, okay, so that was Khatwang Maharaj. So first example I gave, within a moment, when he came to know, okay, only 1 moment left, he was Khatwang, Maharaj Khatwang. So he attained, last 1 moment of his life, he just completely focused on the Supreme Lord. So we can attain. Prabhupada say, so once one devotee asked the question, how long it will take to surrender to Krishna? Prabhupada said, 1 minute. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Prityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami Mashucha. Just surrender unto me, I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So it's just surrender. So, but to attain that level of surrender, complete 100% surrender, somebody can do in 1 minute, 1 moment, somebody may spend the whole lifetime and still may not be able to do.
So who, so the person who can do in 1 minute, it means like he is in the process for a long time.
Yes. So maybe not in this life, maybe from last lives, he has done that practice. Example of Gajendra. Right? Gajendra was the king of elephants. And in this life, he never did any devotional service. He did not practice anything. He was enjoying with all his elephant herd, with his elephant wives and kids. And once he went to take bath in the river, he was enjoying playing with all the family members, throwing water on each other and all that. And his feet was caught by a crocodile. And in that situation, after he first fought with the crocodile, and that fight went on for a long time, and finally he gave up that, oh, I cannot defeat with my strength. He finally called out to Lord Narayan. Now, from where that level of surrender came? He surrendered unto the Lord at that moment. So from where this surrender came? Because in his previous life, he was King Indradyumna, who was a great devotee of the Lord. But because of one curse, he had to take the body of an elephant. So in this lifetime, he did not recite any mantras, any shalokas, did not practice anything, did not read any scriptures. But he was fortunate because of his previous surrender or the previous sadhana he did in previous life, he was able to remember the Lord at the final moment of his death. And he completely surrendered, plucked up a lotus flower from the lake and called out to Lord Narayan, please save me. And Lord Narayan came sitting on his Garuda. So that is the level of surrender. It may not be, it may seem that it was a momentarily surrender, but behind that there was a long practice. Right? So that's why we cannot say, oh, at the time of my death I will call Hare Krishna and I will attain Krishna. To call out that pure name Hare Krishna at the time of death, we need to practice throughout the life. Otherwise, we will remember what we were doing all throughout the life. People remember their dogs, their cats, their property, their cats at the time of death. And they think, oh, who will take care of them? So at the time of death, they will be remembering them and become them in next life. Somebody remembering their dog, he will become a dog in his next life. Right? Somebody is too attached to some particular property, he may be born in that same house, but as a cockroach or something, or a chipkali crawling on the walls of that house. Somebody too attached to eating sweets or sugar may be born as an ant in a container of sugar. So this is what we remember at the time of death. Where our attachment is, that's what we become. So in material way also, they say you become what you think. Something like that. So you are what you associate with, you are what you think about. So keep focusing on that, your consciousness also become like that. So keep focusing on certain things. So the example, there is another example given is a bug, So the, yeah, one example is the caterpillar and butterfly. A caterpillar, he is thinking about the butterfly, and within same life the caterpillar transforms into butterfly. And there is another example is a bug, he holds a smaller bug into the and puts him in a hole somewhere, and that creature is thinking about that bigger bug, always focusing on that, and in that lifetime itself it transforms into that bug. So we transform into where our consciousness is. So at the time of death, wherever our consciousness is, we transform into that state. So Krishna is saying, if at the time of death somebody is able to fix his mind, he attains to the spiritual world. There is no doubt in that. Brahma Nirvanam Richati. So one should have a complete understanding, this Brahma Nirvana is not something like a impersonal state, impersonal effulgence or something. Brahma Nirvana is a destination, is the kingdom of God. So anybody has any question or comment what we discussed today or throughout chapter 2? So we have concluded chapter 2 today. If anybody has any doubts, any questions. So what we have learned as a summary, because this is contents of Gita summarized. So in one sense, we have understood or we have gone through the whole Gita. Right? So it has already spoken who we are, what our activity should be, what the real ultimate goal should be. And to attain that goal, what kind of activity we should be doing. So we'll stop here. If you have any question, we can discuss later also. Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.